Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
The passage we're reading from this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 16. I thought, again, it would be good if you could read along the verses. They're from the New Living Translation, and we'll have them on the screen in a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 16. Here we go. We ready? But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. May God bless the reading of His Word today. Amen? You may be seated. You may be seated. You know, and this is part two, delayed but still part two of our message. And Pastor Marie, of course, is carrying on with the book of 1 Corinthians throughout the coming days and weeks. And great to hear good reports from the Dominican Republic and all that happened this week. You have a pastor who's also a missionary, too. Isn't that great? And God is using her tremendously. Well, story has it that a hurricane had struck. People were huddled together. A preacher was praying with great oratorical effects in the midst of this violent storm, and he was crying out, "Send us the spirit of the children of Israel. Send us the spirit of Moses. Send us the spirit of the children of the promised land." At this, an old man with less oratory but more directness, he said, someone heard him praying, "Lord, don't send nobody. Come yourself. This ain't no time and place for kids." Well, you know what? That's what I would call cutting to the heart of the matter. The difference, though, is this. We don't need God the Holy Spirit only when the storm is on. We need Him all the time. And the burden of this message today is that we can indeed have the Spirit of God all the time. The real question is, do we realize that? Do we cash in on that? Do we let it change our perspective on life? You see, there are no limits, there are no boundaries around who God is, what He can do, and what He has in store for us. That's part of the mystery. Used to be an old song they used to sing, it's no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He will do for you. Now, those people in the church at Corinth were thinking and acting as if they did not have the Spirit. Now, that's the root, you see, of Paul's problem with this church. They're being carnal, they're being fleshy, they're being earthy. And as the letter moves along, in fact, he calls them out on several issues that he shouldn't have had to call them out on. He said, I shouldn't have had to, you know, feed you milk. I should have been able to feed you a full meal and so on. And that comes up later. But Paul is confident that the spirit that those believers have will never lead them down the wrong path if they submit to and they listen to his voice. Let me just issue a little caution. Paul is not opening the door to, you know, some kind of spiritual elitism, you know, so that anybody and everybody, you know, can say they have a special revelation from God and that it should be followed. He's not talking about some special class of people who are ahead of everybody else. Later on in chapter 3, in fact, he has to call out those who say, you know, I belong to Cephas, and I belong to Apollos, and I belong to Paul, and Paul has to call them out on that. What Paul means is that everybody from this passage we read this morning, and I encourage you to read it in some of the other versions as well, is that everybody who loves and follows Jesus has access to this very same Spirit of God. It's a level playing field for Paul. So let's take a little step back here now. This is the second part of a message called The Mystery of God. And I figure, after the last one, I thought, you know, a good way to frame the two parts is like this. The first part we talked about, whenever that was, might be more appropriately referred to as the mystery of God the Son, Jesus Christ. You may recall we defined the word mystery as the wisdom of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, rather than something we have to solve like a mystery, whodunit mystery. The mystery of God regarding the Son, it has to do with this. Paul says this is something that was gloriously devised from eternity. This plan of salvation with Jesus, God's only Son, being sent to earth to live among us as one of us, to suffer and die for us, to be raised again. And this unimaginable plan, this scheme for Paul, has been in the mind of God before the universe began. And as far as Paul is concerned, this mystery has now been revealed. It's now clear for everyone to see. And moreover, now, this is just a little recap from the last message. And moreover, it wasn't meant for Jews only, but for every ethnic group on planet Earth, so that we can all be united as part of one body, the Church of Jesus, that he founded, that he launched, the moment the Holy Spirit fell upon the believers. That's the mystery, that's the wisdom of God that Paul is talking about, as opposed to the wisdom of this world. And he says that's what he came to talk about to these Corinthian people, and that only, not the secular, shallow stuff that was floating around that Paul no longer had any taste for. Let me tell you this. When you've had a taste of God's Spirit and the good things of God's kingdom, and the anticipation that there is, of all there is yet to be, you have no appetite anymore for the glittery, fake, counterfeit, phony, I got a few other words, imitation, synthetic, simulated, in other words, dummy stuff. That doesn't matter anymore. You have no longer have any taste for it. The truth is this. If we get hungry enough for spiritual things, and I'm using the word spiritual here, because, by the way, capital S, spiritual, okay? Spirit of God. If we get hungry enough for spiritual things, that would be revival, because revival would already be here then. If everybody at PPC, or any church for that matter, became hungry enough for spiritual things, we'd already be in the midst of revival. So today, we're talking about the mystery of God, the Holy Spirit, the second part. Now, in the passage we read, the words spirit or spiritual are used no less than 12 times in that short passage. So here's what I would call the mystery of the Spirit. It's the fact that the very Spirit of God, I want to say this slowly and deliberately, the very Spirit, and I highlighted in my notes, very Spirit of God lives inside of us, is among us. It's a profound mystery, but it's an awesome reality. And later Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the Lord is the Spirit. It simply means this. The Lord Himself is inside of you by His Spirit, inside of me, and among us in the third person of the Trinity. You might remember that passage where Jesus on the last day of the feast said, let him who's thirsty come to me, and out of his innermost being would flow rivers of living water. You know, we're not left alone here with a bunch of do's and don'ts. And we're not given a guidebook, an ethics textbook only. I mean, the Bible is full of lots of things about how we are to live and so on. But that's not primarily what it is. It's a story. It's a grand story of God's love for us. In a nutshell, it's this. Number one, God created us for His glory, for fellowship with Him. Number two, we humans messed up. Three, God sends His Son to rescue us. Four, He completes the work. Five, He goes back to heaven. Six, He sends the Holy Spirit. And seven, He has promised to come back again. And part of that story is, while we're here, He promises to be with us to the end of the age. We will never be alone. Listen to me. The Spirit of God is here this morning, which means that God is here. The Spirit of God is inside of you, which means the presence of Jesus and of the Father and Father God is inside of you. If we're going to be people of the Spirit, we would do well to stop listening to the foolishness of this age, especially all the political stuff. I'm not going to go down that road this morning, don't worry. But my mind is occupied with a lot more of that than it should be. Now, there you go. I just did a disclaimer, and there's my transparency right there. Paul is distinguishing between believers who have this wonderful Spirit of God and those believers who do not. For him, there's a vast difference. Now, there are a lot of people sometimes who think they have a corner on God, but that's not what Paul is talking about here. It's not a question of being able to say, you know, I'm better than you. God talks to me. I've had people around church and stuff over the years kind of give me that impression. God talks to me, but I'm not sure He talks to everybody else. But listen, hearing the voice of God, discerning what God's path is for you, it's a privilege that everybody has. Of all people have that privilege, those who know God, those who've been changed by the power of God, those who follow Jesus daily, have that privilege of being able to listen to the voice of the Spirit and discern the will of God in tandem with the Word of God. Now, the key to understanding this passage we read this morning is this one. I think it's verse 14. I'm going to read it from the NIV. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Paul is simply saying, normal human beings do not understand what God has done in sending Jesus. God's ways, the mystery of God, God's wisdom, are not even conceivable to the human mind. We don't have the capacity without the Spirit of God to understand anything about God. What God has prepared in Christ, both now and for the future, and the world is totally ignorant of it and can't possibly fathom it because they do not have the Spirit of God. What God has prepared defies logic. It defies the human mind. It's always been that way. You know, I attended university where there was a religious studies department, but I can tell you for certain, by and large, the idea of that department was not to teach discipleship. I can tell you that. There are lots of courses offered in universities where the Bible is studied as just another piece of literature and not as God's revelation. And verse 7 farther back said it very clearly that God had destined, had decreed all of these things. Paul said this. This is kind of a strange phrase. Paul said, for our glory. Wow, for our glory, for your glory, for your benefit. God has decreed all of these things. What has been revealed to us is that eternal salvation is possible for us and for everyone else. There are no limits. It's all open-ended. The only limits are the ones that we put on God. It's for everyone who is open, submissive, humble, willing to discern, willing to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and not being able to recognize and discern what the Spirit is calling you to do is spiritual tone deafness. One of the most infamous true and funny stories of tone deafness is a lady by the name of Florence Foster Jenkins. Miss Jenkins was a 1940s New York socialite. She insisted on singing opera in public despite having no ability to match pitch. We met those. Her performances were sold out hits. True story. As audiences came to hear her horrific, screeching, utterly confident vocal performances, often described in the newspapers as goose being mauled to death. Florence Foster Jenkins generally believed that she was a great soprano, even though she would often ignore the piano accompaniment and sing her own chaotic rhythm and melody. She famously sold out Carnegie Hall, and the audience was reportedly filled with people dying of laughter, though she took their hysterical applause as genuine admiration for her musical talent. Her condition is actually sometimes theorized. Her condition is called an extreme case of musia, or complete inability to hear that her own voice didn't match the music. See, listen. In this hour of history, more than any other, I would say that every one of us need to pray that we will not be spiritually tone deaf to what God is saying, God is doing. This is not something weird and mystical. This is something that we as Christians need to understand, and it's going to take waiting in the presence of God. It's going to take slowing down. It's going to take listening to what the Spirit is speaking to your heart and then try to discern the path that you should take. So let me just leave a couple of quick points with you. The mystery of God's revealing Spirit is what I want to mention first. Paul has just said in the passage previous that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has ever conceived, that what God has prepared for those who love him. But then he says, God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean God has revealed everything that there's ever going to be. None of us could possibly absorb that. You know what? Let me tell you this. The best days of Christians are still ahead of them. Nobody can imagine what glories have been prepared for those who love Jesus. We just know by the Spirit that it's all going to be more than we can ever imagine. Branded on our very being, baked into our psyche, is this reality that if God loved us enough to send His own Son to die on the cross for our sins and draw us into one body, His church, from every tribe and nation, can you imagine what He has in store for us if in fact He did that, which He did? Branded on our very being is that this is not all there is to it. And Paul said it, look, in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Man, that's terrific. The mystery of the revealing Spirit is the openness of it all, the boundlessness of it all, the limitlessness of the good things of God. There are no maximums. There are no minimums on this kind of theology. The door is wide open to God's storehouse, and I tell you, you haven't seen anything yet. And then Paul in Ephesians, again, carries the same thing forward, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Notice what it says. I underlined it. According to His power that is at work within us. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. This Spirit reveals, Paul says, it searches all things, even the deep things of God, the depths of God. It sounds a little far-fetched, almost too good to be true. He says the Spirit searches everything, even the deep things of the triune God, conveys them to us. It's like the Spirit inside of us is the link that links us to God the Father, Jesus the Son. And it works the other way around, too. When we're praying, we don't know what we ought to say. We don't know what we should pray. Paul says we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. So listen to what he says, one of my favorite passages. And this is in chapter 8 of Romans, again, New Living Translation. Here it is. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. I hope this gets into your heart this morning and gives you some hope for what you're going through right now. Now, the question could be asked, all right, how does a person access all of this? Maybe this is new. What I've said this morning is new to some of you. Some of you watching online, across Canada, around the world. How does a person access all of this? Is this something that it's just in your head that you have to make a mental assent to it, to something you have to sign up for? Does it happen when you say something like, well, the Bible makes sense to me, I believe it, yeah. Or is there something much deeper that has to take place first? Before anybody can get past what would sound like foolishness, before the Spirit that is from God can be active, before we can be spiritually attuned, listening, there's something big and revolutionary that has to take place within the heart first. And I'm drawn to John 3. Some of you remember this story. One of the leaders of the Pharisees, of all people, named Nicodemus, comes to Jesus under cover of darkness, I presume. He came to Jesus and he says, Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God, because nobody could do all the things that you do if God wasn't in it. And Jesus doesn't deny it, but he says, ah, take it from me, Nikki. Unless a person is born again, that person cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. What? What? Born again? What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And let me tell you, you would have been just as bewildered as Nicodemus was if you had heard that statement for the first time. What do you mean? Having to be born from above talk. What is that? Well, it's like this. Jesus says, and this is like a bombshell. He says, nobody can be a part of the kingdom of God unless they're born both of water from the womb and the Spirit. And the New Living Translation says this in John 3, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So Jesus says, don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. And Jesus is making it clear, this is not something you can touch or see. You feel the wind, you know it's there, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going or what it'll do. And the same thing, the Spirit of God, the revealing Spirit of God, the wind of God blows wherever it will. And unless you are born from above, you can't possibly discern what I am talking about. It sounds like absurdity and craziness. To put it another way, it's the prerequisite for a vibrant spiritual, capital S, spiritual life of peace and freedom and joy and victory and hope for the future. And so finally, Paul says in Romans 8, chapter 15, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. The revealing Spirit. Let me finish with this. The mystery of God's guiding Spirit. You know, oftentimes over the years, I've heard people say things, rightly so, we need to seek the mind of the Lord on this. Paul says right here, believers have the mind of Christ. Nobody has ever known the mind of the Lord so we can instruct him. But Paul says we have the mind of Christ. Now, it's not an arrogant statement. It's a statement of fact. The question has always been, are we really taking the time to detect what the Lord by the Spirit is saying? The tenor of the passage throughout is spiritual people discern spiritual truths. Or to put it another way, people of the Spirit discern truths of the Spirit. I could go on, but I want to just leave it there. Leave it there, except to say this. We can experience the guidance of the Holy Spirit and live it every day of our lives. This past fall, I had the opportunity to spend several days with persecuted believers in a restricted access nation. Several things impressed me, but perhaps the most profound one to me was the way they talked so naturally, so normally, so automatically about godly things, about the Spirit and how the Spirit was leading them, guiding them. It was like, and I noticed it, it was as normal as eating breakfast for them. Praying and discovering the will of God seemed to be so paramount. If it meant they had to wait for God to come through, then they had to wait for God to come through. So what do we make of all of this? What do we do with it? Well, here's the awe moment. Let me summarize it, those two messages. Yahweh was seen as the God of the Jews, but not of the Gentiles. Jews had no qualms with saying, he's not for the likes of you. It was an unthinkable idea that God would reach outside of Jewish lines and move into the realm of the Gentiles who are outsiders. For Paul, the mystery has been revealed. It's mind-blowing. It's inexhaustible. There's no ethnic privilege. It's not based on human achievement. It's not reserved for the oligarchs of the world. God's purposes include everybody from every race beyond all imagination if they will receive him. So what happens is this. At one place, Paul said, I bow my knees in humility. We stand in awe of the mystery that we've only scratched the surface of. The mystery has been revealed, but we haven't gotten to the bottom of it. It's just like what we say about icebergs on the East Coast. The top one-tenth, there's nine-tenths of that iceberg below the water. We've only scratched the surface because we stand underneath this awesome mystery. So we need to be, as Christians, quick to listen, slow to speak, eager to learn, reluctant to draw lines where God hasn't drawn lines. Right? And we stand in wonder and awe at the story of Jesus with this all-encompassing, loving embrace where he says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And we do everything to make it known, because Jesus said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. His love is so vast. His purposes are so magnificent. It could never fit within our understanding. God inside of us by his Spirit. God for us by his Spirit. God with us by his Spirit. God among us by his Spirit. So we worship because we've tasted the riches of Christ. We will never be the same. And I close with this passage, Romans 11, verse 33, on the New Living Translation. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Father, thank you for the inheritance of the gospel that we have, that we've only barely begun. The mystery of God has been revealed to us, but we will spend the rest of our lives in eternity standing in awe and wonder, plumbing its depths. Lord, I pray today that those listening to my voice, if they have never been born again, that this will be the day when they will be transformed by the power of the gospel so that they will be able to discern the way God is leading their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.